Who are these people? Hearing the scripture passage that Julie read to get for us today, you might be asking yourself this very same question. Who are these people? The end of Paul's letter to the Colossian church is essentially a list full of names that none of us have really ever heard of before. Names like Tychicus, Aristarchus, Justus, Epaphras, Nympha, and Aristarchus. These are not the familiar Bible names like Peter or Paul or Mary. In fact, one commentator describes this list as the nobodies of the New Testament. I challenge you to remember another sermon that you've ever heard preached on this particular text. Who are these people? At the same time that we are reading these unfamiliar names this morning from the Bible, we're also installing new elders and deacons as officers and leaders of our church. Some of them are probably familiar to you, but others, I suspect you've never met. So you might also be wondering yourself this same question over again. Who are these people? Well, today, as we consider the people that God is calling into leadership in our church, and as we think about our own lives and journeys with God, I want to take you through this little list of leaders from the New Testament church of 2,000 years ago. We're going to take a look at some of these names and discover what God is teaching us about not only what we need for the journey, but really who we need to be with us. As we begin, let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. Do you remember that old Sprint telephone commercial from some years ago that told us to reach out and touch someone? You remember that? Well, I want to take a quick poll here this morning. How many of you have reached out and touched someone in the last week by talking to them, calling them up on the telephone? How many of you have had a conversation on the telephone the last week? Come on, probably everybody. All right, how about this? How many of you have sent a text message or received or sent an email in the last week? Let's see it. Most folks. All right, just one more now. How many of you in the last week have written a personal letter to someone, put it in an envelope, addressed it, put a stamp on it, taken it down to the post office box, and mailed it off? How many of you have done that? Wow, I'm impressed. More than I thought, I have to admit. You know, these days we have so many different ways of keeping in touch with our family and friends. Cell phones, text messages, email, Facebook, Skype, just to name a few. All sorts of ways to maintain our relationships across long distances and long absences. Well, in the Apostle Paul's time, the way that he kept up those relationships over long distance and absence was through writing letters to his friends and colleagues that he couldn't be with personally. Other than the four Gospels, the rest of the New Testament, the majority of the New Testament, is really made up of Paul's letters to those early church communities. Paul wrote so much that if the New Testament were a summer concert series, it would be the Apostle Paul's name up in lights. He would be the headline performer. But as you know, the Apostle Paul never saw himself in this way. He wasn't a solo act or a one-man band. Paul was relational in his ministry, always part of ministry teams. He built up networks of people who brought different gifts and strengths into the work they were doing. Paul couldn't do it alone, and you know, neither can we. That's why Paul shared his life with such a broad set of people. And today we're looking at some of these people in Paul's network of relationships. Some of the people who are a little bit lesser known, but folks who I think we need to get to know. Their names are so strange that I made you a little cheat sheet. Do you have it there? You can pull it out of your bulletin. A little green cheat sheet. You can follow along. The question, of course, is, who are these people? I think we're going to find out. The first person on the list this morning is Tychicus. Paul says, I have sent Tychicus to you for this very purpose, so that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Tychicus is an encourager. If you want to take out a pen and write that on your green paper, you can. Tychicus is an encourager. He's mentioned four times in the Bible. And each time, it says that he is being sent to visit with people and to encourage them. A Tychicus is someone whose mission it is to encourage the hearts of the people he or she meets. We all need a Tychicus. Amen? It's so easy for us to get bogged down and discouraged with all the things we face in life, and that's why we need people who are put into our lives for a purpose, the purpose of encouraging our hearts like a Tychicus. Do you have a Tychicus? Someone in your life who's interested in you, in what's going on with you, who asks how you're doing, who encourages you? We all need a Tychicus. And I wonder if you might be a Tychicus for somebody else. Who are you encouraging in your life? Who are you going to encourage this week, maybe with a phone call, an email, or a personal letter? We are called to be in Tychicus for others, and we receive encouragement from the Tychicus people in our lives. Well, next on the list is Aristarchus. I know a lot of you have heard the name Aristarchus before because a member of this congregation's name is Aristarchus. He recently moved away. Well, Aristarchus, the one that we meet in Scripture, is described as a fellow prisoner with Paul. He's a fellow prisoner with Paul, a person who is so committed to the cause of Christ that Aristarchus even goes to jail because of it. We might describe Aristarchus as a cause-driven person. He's passionate for what he believes in, and he's willing to accept the outcome of his advocacy. I wonder if Dietrich Bonhoeffer might be called an Aristarchus. You might remember Bonhoeffer was that German theologian and leader of the resistance movement against the Nazis during World War II. He was imprisoned and finally killed by the Nazi regime because of the stands that he took against their oppressive power. In his letters and papers from prison, which were published after his untimely death, Bonhoeffer writes this. He says, "There remains an experience of incomparable value to see the great events of the world history from below, from the perspective of the outcast, the suspects, the maltreated, the powerless, the oppressed and reviled, in short, from the perspective of those who suffer." And Aristarchus is a person who looks at life this way, from the underside, from the perspective of those who suffer. There's a reason that Aristarchus people like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, end up in prison. They speak uncomfortable truths to people and push people, challenge them to think about things in a different way. Are you an Aristarchus? Are you captivated by the cause of the powerless and the oppressed, the suffering of the world? And I wonder if God might be calling you, Aristarchus, into this place, the life of this particular congregation for just this purpose, to share your Aristarchus outlook with the rest of us. Are you an Aristarchus? Well, the next name on our list is Justus. And a trait that Justus brings to Paul's mission is his ability to bridge the divide between theological differences. He builds bridges between theological differences, which usually divide. Paul explains that although Justus comes from a more conservative theological background than he does, nonetheless, they have become partners in the kingdom work that they have. Justus belongs, you see, to a group within the early church who strongly believed that anyone who was becoming a new Christian had to first become circumcised, culturally to become Jewish. This was an essential tenet of their perspective on faith. But Paul had a different take. He said, no, you don't need to be circumcised. You can come to faith in Christ through grace. By grace through faith you are saved. He did not think anyone should be circumcised in order to become a Christian. Now, this might seem to us like a rather minor thing to be arguing over. This circumcision debate seems so out of date to us. But you know, that circumcision debate of the New Testament church was every bit as divisive and difficult as any of the social issues that we face today as a church. It divided people into camps, opposite one another, struggling not together, but against each other. But the amazing thing that we find here in Scripture is this person, Justice. Even though he and Paul disagreed about this hot-button issue, he didn't let that stop him from working with Paul toward their common Christian goals, the goals for God's kingdom. What a witness this is for the church today. I pray that among our elders and deacons who are coming on board, that we might have some justices, some people who are able to work with others, even those with whom they may disagree, to work together for the good of God's kingdom. Because with a church as diverse as ours, in terms of age and culture and theological outlook, family situation, sexual orientation, and financial donation, all of these differences need to be overcome somehow. And we need a justice, a person who works between these groups to bring unity in the body of Christ. Amen? We need it. Well, if you're following along on our green sheet, we've talked about Tychicus, Aristarchus, and Justice. And you might be wondering, how long is this sermon going to last? But like Tychicus before me, I want to encourage your hearts. Not much longer. We're going to move pretty quickly through these next three names. Paul says that Epaphras, who's the next one on our list, Epaphras is always wrestling in his prayers on your behalf. Do you remember that old children's prayer that goes, "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, and if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my toys to break, so none of the other kids can have them." Do you remember? Is that how that... I don't think so. Well, an Epaphras person is someone who wrestles in prayer for us. They don't just lift up any old prayer, just follow along with our whims and wants. They are discerning the will of God for our lives. An Epaphras is someone who wrestles in prayer, seeking God's will and best for any situation in our lives. Surely one of the most powerful statements we can make is this: I'm praying for you. Amen? To say to someone, "I'm praying for you," lift them up. Let them know that you are a spiritual supporter, someone they can count on with whatever they're facing in life. Are you an Epaphras person? Do you have the gift of faithful prayer, supporting people spiritually in their lives? I wonder if we have any Epaphras people here today. We need Epaphras. Well, next up is Nympha. Say it with me, Nympha. Not pronounced any other way, it's Nympha. Okay, like most of the other nobodies of the New Testament on our list this morning, Paul says very little about this person named Nympha. All we know is that she is a woman who hosts a church in her house. She has the gifts for leadership and for hospitality, and she puts them to use. Now, as the only woman on our list today, I don't want to shortchange Nympha, because the gifts of women in the church are so important. Women of the church, can you say yes?
Yes.
All right. Men of the church, can you say women? We need you, women. Here we go. Nympha's on this list. She only gets 6 words in the whole verse. All it tells us is that she was there hosting this church in her house. She had the gift of hospitality. And the gift of hospitality is so important and fundamental to any church. Imagine yourself new to Providence and you walk into PPC on a Sunday morning. If you're like most first-time visitors, you walk through the door on time and nobody's here. That's an issue. Okay. Well, you walk in and find a spot. Nobody's there, but they trickle in slowly. Finally, everyone's there. And maybe you're this new visitor and you look around and you say to yourself, "I don't know anybody in this church." And you think to yourself, "I don't know anybody in Providence." You might even say to yourself, "I don't know anybody in this country. I'm new. I need a Nympha." If you're new, you need a Nympha, a person who shows you hospitality. Nympha people seek out and introduce themselves to new faces. Nympha people help newcomers find the bathroom. Nympha people are coffee hour hosts and ushers. They set up chairs at a church barbecue. They sign up to bring food to a TNT gathering. Nympha people treat the church as if it were their home, because it is. The mission of a Nympha person is to welcome others into the house of the Lord. As the New Testament book of Hebrews reminds us, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, because by doing so, some have entertained angels without knowing it. So we need Nympha people. Are you a hospitality guru? Are you the hostess with the mostest? Well, you are a Nympha, and we need you. Okay. The final name on our list that I want to lift up this morning is Archippus. You see it there at the bottom, Archippus. Paul writes, say this to Archippus. See that you complete the task you have received in the Lord. Hear that again. See that you complete the task you have received in the Lord. Essentially, tell Archippus to finish what he started. And I love that as we consider our new elders and deacons coming in with us today. I wonder what it will take for PPC to become an Archippus church, a people who travel the journey of faith together, who cross the finish line, and who finish what we start. What would it take for us to be an Archippus kind of church? We're starting new with these new elders and deacons today, but really, we're in the middle of our journey together. We're in the midst of something going on. And the challenge that Paul lays down to Archippus is the same challenge that we face today, to faithfully finish what we started. The question is, what will we need to do that? What will we need to take with us? How will we do this? And so here's the answer, which is also the message of the morning for you. It's not so much what we need, but who we need. Not so much what we need for our journey, but who we need to journey with. In order to become an Archippus church, to complete the task of growing into all that God is calling us to be, we need a Tychicus, someone who encourages our hearts. We need an Aristarchus, someone to inspire us with their passion and commitment. We need a Justus, someone who can overcome differences and work for unity. We need an Epaphras, someone who will lift us up in prayer and spiritually support us. We need a Nympha, people who will welcome and make room for newcomers. So who are these people? It was our first question, and it's also how we'll end. Who are these people? Tychicus, Aristarchus, Justus, Epaphras, Nympha, and Archippus. Who are these people? They are you and me. Who are these people? They are you and me. God calls each of us with our varied gifts to come together for this journey of faith, to bring what we offer, distinct gifts, not to be held by ourselves apart, but to be brought together in the work of the kingdom. I pray that you, discovering your own gifts and what you have to bring, that you too will join with us, that we will walk together in the direction God is leading us, and we will do it with everyone here today. Who are these people? We are God's people. Amen.
Will you please read with me the Apostles' Creed, the traditional, or if you know it by heart. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
I would like to call forward those who will be ordained and installed as new officers this morning to stand up with Dave and myself and Gladys Brown, Elder Gladys Brown, who will be standing in as the clerk of session this morning for this occasion to ask questions and formally present these newly elected. Gladys was the chair of our nominating committee this spring.
Yeah, who are we missing? Bob? Yeah, Joanne.
So many of them wearing their name tags.
Nice. Nympha. Yeah.
There are different gifts, but it is the same Spirit who gives them. There are different ways of serving God, but it is the same Lord who is served. God works through different people in different ways, but it is the same God who achieves God's purposes through them all.